welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. This is the season one finale episode with an awesome guest. We've got Solsky on the show today. Wanted to end the season with a big name, and we got it with Solsky. So won't take too much of your time before we get to that interview. It's a really, really fun interview. I really love talking with Solsky. Solsky's such a good guy, and he likes to have a good time, right? So what's going on? Cross Keys tournament's going on. 2-1. I just played my match today against Smirk in the 1-1 bracket. Spoilers, I won. I'm 2-1. I was super nervous today. Like, Smirk is one of those runners that's just up and coming and making waves and doing some really good things. And I was really excited to race him for the first time. I think we've done a couple of pickup races and stuff, but doing our first tournament race, was able to pick up the win, but I was sweating it the entire time. I never found boots in the seed, and Smirk did. So when I watched back the race, I was like sweating. Oh man, how did I even pull this off? But was able to make a play into Thieves Town and get my pod big kind of early. And that was kind of the difference in that race. So, you know, glad to get the win and not overlooking anyone in this tournament. Like, Cross Keys is an equalizer. So not taking any win for granted, and excited to see who I get paired up against for week number 3 in the 2-1 bracket. That's going to be a scary bracket. A lot of huge names in the 2-1 bracket. So we'll see how that goes. Past guest on the show, Nielsen Alex, is going to be at ESA this week. His run is on Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Pacific. So I'll probably have to catch the YouTube video of that or the Twitch VOD of that. But really excited about that run from Nielsen. He's been putting a lot of time in on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES. If you've jumped into any of his streams lately, you'll see him doing some practice runs. And we all remember how terrible that game is. It's fun watching Nielsen play. Does a really good job. And the big thing with that is the RNG for the Technodrome level. If you can get it on the first drop in, you can get a pretty good time. But if you don't, then your run is kind of screwed. So you play the entire run of the game for the most part until the second to last level. And if you get bad RNG, your run is basically over. But if you can, jump into the ESA chat and cheer on our boy Nielsen Alex. 8 a.m. this Thursday. Gonna be a really fun run to watch, and cool to see Nielsen on the big stage. Not a lot of other rando things going on. I mean, with Cross Keys tournament and the Kaz Boots tournament and the Homemade Beer Structural Mic tournament. I can't remember the name. It's one of the silly names. Another Link to the Past tournament or whatever it's called. It's lots of rando is happening, and lots of it is being restreamed, but it's not the main tournament, so it's not as centralized. Lots of like cool jank restreams are happening. So it's a really fun time right now where you have tournament races, but none of them have a mandatory 10-minute delay, and people are able to enjoy them a little bit more. San Diego Comic-Con just happened, and being a big MCU fan, big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, it was cool to see some of the stuff that was announced. They announced two new Avengers movies in 2025. That's pretty cool. Fantastic Four towards the end of 2024. They released the Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer. That was really good. The She-Hulk trailer. Big fan of like the She-Hulk comics, especially some of the more modern ones. And it looks like the show is kind of capturing some of that vibe from those comics. That's pretty cool. So excited to see that. A bunch. I mean, there's just so much MCU stuff that's coming out. They announced a new Captain America with Sam Wilson as Captain America called Captain America New World Order. That's pretty cool. They announced a Thunderbolts movie, which is pretty neat. A Daredevil show, which I think has 18 episodes. That's an insane amount of episodes for Disney Plus, with Charlie Cox coming back as Daredevil and Vincent D'Onofrio back as Wilson Fisk. So that's pretty cool if you're a fan of those Netflix Daredevil shows. Obviously, it will be different than the Netflix Daredevil shows, which were amazing, by the way. If you haven't seen those, check those out. I think they're on Disney Plus now. But really excited for Daredevil Born Again. That's going to be pretty neat. A lot of cool stuff. That's kind of what I've been focusing on, watching a lot of the news from San Diego Comic-Con. Stranger Things Season 4 is all finished. Big fan of the way that show ended. Big fan of Season 4 in general. I thought that show was a lot of fun. not going to give any spoilers away or anything, but I'm always willing to talk Stranger Things in the Discord. So if you ever want to talk Stranger Things, I'm a sucker for it because I loved season four. I actually rewatched seasons one and two with my kids, and it was their first time watching it. It was a lot of fun. They really enjoyed those first two seasons and had a really good time with them. So, all right. So this is the season finale. We have Solsky on the show. We'll get to the interview. And then coming up after the interview, going to announce the entire lineup for season two. We're going to take a 2-week break after this episode, and we'll be back with season two. And it's going to be a little bit longer than season one, so that's cool. There's just so many people that I want to talk to, and I just want to talk to everyone. So we'll have that announcement at the end of the episode with a special guest. That's going to be fun. And then, like I said, we'll take a 2-week break and we'll be back. I'm loving making 216. It's been super fun. It allows me to enjoy this game in a way that I wasn't enjoying it before. And it's all because of you. If no one was listening, I'd still probably make the show because I'm having fun talking with the guests. But the fact that the numbers for each episode climb tells me that people are at least sharing the show, and the word about the show is spreading. And I don't know, warms my little heart. Added a 216 t-shirt to the Fear Agent Teespring store. There's a link in the announcements and a link on my Twitch page to that. I've got my Fear Agent t-shirts, and then we added the 216 shirt. I think I'm going to add my tracker icons as stickers. I think someone requested the Ganon with the X around it as a die cut sticker. So I'll definitely be adding that one. If there's any of my tracker icons that you'd like to see as a sticker, let me know in the Discord. Again, 216pod.com is a link to the Discord. You can join there and let me know. I'm also thinking about maybe just putting the tracker images on just like one sheet, and then you could kind of cut them out yourself. I don't know. Let me know. What do you guys want? If you want to support the show, this is kind of a good way to do it. I'm never going to charge for the show. Don't think I'll ever make a Patreon. The show's not free. It costs me money to host this stuff and everything. I don't really care about that. But if you want to help, you know, support the show, I guess that's a way to do it. I never really want to ask people for money for the show. If you can get something out of it, a shirt or a sticker or whatever, a Twitch sub with emotes or whatever, then that's probably the best way to financially support the show. So we've got those t-shirts. We'll add the stickers. If there's anything else you'd like to see, I'll add it a mug. There's a Fear Agent mug. Maybe we'll make a 216 one as well. If there's any 216 or Fear Agent merch you'd like to see in the store, just let me know and I'll add it. And appreciate everyone. Really, I really do. All right, Solsky, our guest on the show today. Again, big name to close out the show. Solsky's been around for a long time, so we really delve into like his history of the game, how he came into Link to the Past Randomizer, his role in SMZ3, the smoke match, which I have a link to Axe Breakdown in the show notes if you want to check that out. We cover it all. It's a really fun conversation. Love talking with Solsky, so no more wasting time. Let's get to it. All right, Solsky, one of the things that one of the reasons I'm excited to have you on the show is you've been a part of the community a lot longer than I have, and you've got like a pretty rich history in the community. We'll talk about Smoke, obviously, but you also crossed over into Super Metroid, which I have almost zero knowledge. So I'm going to pick your brain on some Super Metroid stuff. But when did you start playing Link to the Past Randomizer?
Oh, God, let's wind back the clock to the golden age of 2017.
Jeez.
I guess when I start looking at Randomizer, right? Like, obviously, as a kid, you know, grade schoolish, trying to link to the past, renting it. And like you talked about Super Metroid, owning the cart, the golden days of gaming, some of my favorite times, right?
But hell yeah.
2017, yeah. God, what was it? I think it was either on YouTube or Twitch. It was the first like big tournament that they had in 2017, the spring one. And it was I caught the tail end of an Andy match. Okay. Go figure. Yeah. And Andy, I don't know who he's playing, but he just like owned this guy. And the guy was going on about like, oh, you know what, I had this happen, I had that happen. I'm like, whoa. You're telling me there's a competitive game where I can like have these kind of excuses at my disposal, and you know, if I lose, it's not that bad. I'm in.
Yeah.
So no, it wasn't really that, but it was. Sure. It looked like a lot of fun. And I was like, oh, this is such a neat thing, because I've always played like the hacks of Link to the Past, right? Like I think the big one, Parallel Worlds, gets thrown out around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think that's people's first interface or interlay into that. So I took a shot at it, played it for a bit, Played a bit offline for a while, actually. So for a couple of months was practicing. And ended up getting in my first race. And I was so nervous that I died in escape. But I was still second in the race.
Nice.
I played so well. I was still second. And Frame, of course, was first place in that race, by the way.
Sure.
But already I was like, oh, this is so cool, right?
Yeah. Were you doing speed runs or were you interested in speed running at that point?
No, not at all. Like speed runs were cool as a spectator. Like I was following some of the earlier GDQs at the time, you know, like Zos runs, were a particular one. I remember, who was that gentleman's name from SM64? I can't remember the guy's name now. Oh God, it's going to kill me later. But, yeah. Siglemic, that's the one. Yeah, so I watched his runs, you know, and like it was so much fun, right? So I didn't really get into the whole speedrunning thing until much, much later with more Super Metroid. But it was just like a fun casual thing to race. And I thought it was just like really cool that, hey, yeah, not only can I do this, but then I can like race competitively against people as well for fun. And that was so pretty neat.
Yeah, let's take it back. So as a kid, you're growing up a Nintendo fan. Is that what, because, you know, like, if you're growing up in the console, early console days of Nintendo and Sega, you kind of, unless you were rich or whatever and had both, you know, it felt like you're either like a Nintendo guy or a Sega guy. Did you fall into one of those camps or where were you?
I'll throw the third camp in there and the PC guy. So I was actually a PC and Nintendo guy. I was really lucky growing up.
So this is like early PC days, right? Like what were you playing?
So we're talking like the Windows 3.0 days and then the Windows 95, 98 days. I'm not going to bore you with like, you know, the ski free kind of times, but Lands of Lore was one of my favorite early PC games, right? Like the RPG, real fun game there, but also getting into early online, right? So we were early adapters, like modems and stuff. So I think the first one I ever played like online was like Westwood Online Command and Conquer. I actually did really well as a kid too. Like I was like top 30, like good.
Wow.
But also not a lot of people play. Like there's a couple of hundred people, right?
Sure.
And I just like rushed people as the allies or whatever was the GDI. That's the one. But it was just kind of that. And I think that's where I kind of got the initial kick for competitive gameplay, right? But then there's obviously the couch stuff with like, say, playing with my sister, Mario Kart's probably the easiest example of one that you like play competitively, right? So a lot of fun there too.
So you were competitive like at an early age then, like
very
early. Your sister in Mario Kart.
Sister in Mario Kart and like any kind of two-player games. Another early game was like kind of a, I don't know if a lot of people have heard this one, like Subspace. It was like one of the first online only games. I was actually part of a national team for one of those kind of offsets of the game. And I was like only like 11. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy.
So was SNES your first console or did you have the original NES or?
I had the original NES, Game Boy, SNES, N64. So it's pretty much a Nintendo guy up until maybe the Xbox, the first Xbox came out.
So you're just crushing the Mario games, crushing Zelda games, crushing Metroid games? Yeah.
That'd be it.
You kind of sunk your teeth into you immediately, huh?
Yeah.
But you're going back and forth between like console stuff and very early PC stuff. Did that translate into more PC stuff later? As you know, the early 2000s kicked off and there was more and more online gaming?
I think so, right? Like the online stuff was more for my fix on like competitive gameplay, more or less, right? Like, Quake 3 Arena was just out just before high school at that point, and that was another one that I would get into, right? So that's probably where I leaned into. And then the console stuff was more, you know, somewhat the casual stuff, right? But still trying to, it's playing the single player games or whatever on the Nintendo consoles.
Did you stick with all the Nintendo stuff like GameCube and 64 Wii and all that stuff?
Yeah, GameCube was like one I took a break from when I got the Xbox. And the main reason why I loved having an Xbox was like when Xbox Live came out. You know, you go to a friend's house that has Halo and they can play it online. You're like, oh, this is crazy, right? Because Xbox Live was like this new concept.
Yeah.
And that was really cool.
I remember because I don't even know if Xbox Live was a thing yet. I was in college and we all had our own Xboxes. So we had to like link them together, like with an actual LAN cable to play like together because we weren't even able to play it online yet. Those were the days though, man. It crushed a lot of Halo in
hell yeah, yeah,
like 16 player each on their own CRTV, you know, just these giant TVs lugging everything around. That was a crazy time.
Yeah, the good old days, right?
Totally. Those are you know, getting really drunk or high or whatever, and then just crushing Halo is like,
yeah,
when we're supposed to be in class, you know, that's the good stuff. So you said Quake was your game?
Quake 3, yeah, was a big one. Did Age of Empires 2 as well. So I had like RTS and first-person shooters. It was kind of what I would gravitate towards on the PC. And then, like, you know, Diablo 2, of course, but it wasn't really as competitive. More of a, you know, there's multiplayer, but it's not as competitive with the PvP. So
sure.
So that'd be like my online fix. And again, the console gaming was just like my single-player, like, couch co-op kind of fix kind of there.
Mm-hmm. When was your first interaction with, like, Twitch or even speedrunning? Like, were you watching stuff on YouTube before it was on Twitch? Were you watching stuff on Justin TV? Was it GDQ that kind of got you into it, or where was it?
Yeah. So it was probably Justin TV, right? Like, I can't remember the guy's name, but there was like this one streamer that would always play like Abe's Odyssey or those kind of games, right? Like those puzzle games where you're the alien, you're going through and solving some stuff and you're an alien. So I watched a bunch of that. It was just kind of entertaining, right? And to have it on there, so it's like, oh, this is really cool. So it was like way back before Twitch at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
For like YouTube, for like gaming content, it was like a couple of Let's Plays for like Parallel Worlds kind of got me into that. And then the GDQs thereafter. Once I stumbled onto the GDQs, it was over, right? Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, totally. Man, this exists. This is so cool, right? Like just to see people play these old games that I loved, you know, growing up and kind of getting that experience on. Not only like crushing me ability wise because I was, you know, your perspective is like, you know, only skin deep, right, until you get exposure to the internet back in those days. So
right,
like you're like, oh, I'm so good at this game, and then you see people just like bust out like 120 yes. stars on SM64 or like Ocarina of Time, and I'm just like, wow, wait, you can't do that, can you? Like,
I know,
this is crazy, right? So
yeah, I feel like I was pretty late to the game. I think one of the first things that I saw was Panga do Super Mario World blindfolded.
Okay.
Which at this point was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. Time has kind of flown by, but I had no idea that like people were just destroying these games the way they were. So when GDQ happened and I was able to stumble upon it, it's like, wow, this is impressive. Like I had no idea. Like, I knew I wasn't that good at games because I was playing like Wolfenstein 3D. Do you remember that? Like the first Return to Castle Wolfenstein, I think. It was like me and my cousin were living together. I had this like janky ass PC and was just like spend hours, you know, trying to kill Nazis and stuff. But
yeah.
So tell me, because I've actually never played Parallel Worlds. How did you find that ROM hack?
I think it was honestly from that YouTube Let's Play I watched. Like, early days of YouTube, right? Like just
right.
I don't even know how I stumbled upon it, right? Like a lot of this stuff's kind of in the fog these days, but
sure,
like,
yeah.
It's been so long ago, but yeah, I stumbled upon it and like Googled it, right? And saw what it was about, how to get it. I'm like, okay, ran it on an emulator. I'm like, this game sucks. Watching it, watching it and playing it are like two different experiences. I felt like it was like, at least the original version was like, hey, you're playing on an emulator and you're gonna have save states. I feel like a lot of people share that sentiment because it's like, it's so hard, like you mentioned, right? Like, and its balance is broken. Some puzzles are kind of off, but you know what? It's like, it's new Link to the Past content. You've never played it before. It's like a familiar, you know, a familiar feel to the original Link to the Past. So I loved it for that. Right. But I was kind of left waiting for like a little bit more, and it was kind of cool to see what they could do with that. Like, okay, what else can you do with the game? Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you find the randomizer and then everything's
the
tables are completely turned. So you're playing offline a bit beforehand just to kind of get familiar with the game. Like how familiar were you playing Link to the Past?
I haven't played for like, God, it was like 2 to 4 years. I haven't played from that point or touched it. Mm-hmm. So definitely ran a couple to not only get myself re-familiar with the game world. So when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about locations.
Sure.
But then like, you know, okay, how do I kill these bosses?
Right.
What items do I need to get to these areas? Right. So those are the things that you didn't really have to think about because of how the game was constructed and that natural ebb and flow of the game would say, okay, you need to go to A, B, C, D in that kind of order. You had a little bit of leeway in Dark World with a couple of dungeons, but most part you kind of had to go that path. Right. But a randomizer, it's just like, okay, well, you need to find your Dark World axis, and then you need to get to Ganon's Tower, and you're like, okay, so I need this item, and then where are all the chests again? Like, so that right. was kind of the concept of like relearning where all these other chests were in the game. That yeah. like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. And that was kind of the mm-hmm. process I want to go through rather than just jump right into racing, because I knew there was gonna be like just tons of those kind of hiccups, and I didn't really want to waste time on that. Right, like I just want to learn it right. first, and then get a little bit good and skilled at the game, but not like. Like, this is before the practice hack, or I think he even knew about the practice hack. So, is this mm-hmm. more like learning the core game?
So, do you think you have a natural aptitude to, like, I guess I don't want to say speedrunning, but just like developing skills in these games? Because I had to really teach myself. I was never as good as I hoped to be in video games. So, there's always like a pretty big learning curve. Do you feel like you have the same thing, or were you able to adapt pretty well?
I think I was able to adapt pretty well, right? Just again, with a lot of competitive background in games, like I mentioned earlier about being like on the national team. It was a small time thing. It wasn't a big thing, right? But those kind of experiences were kind of help to kind of play in that competitive level where I wasn't really too worried about like where I was in the race, mm-hmm. but more worried about what I was doing. And I kind of compounded it into like what I needed to do to kind of get good quick, which again was like, okay, learn the game, learn where the locations are. You know, learn the bosses. Where are my biggest time losses, right? Was one of the things I told myself or asked myself. And of course, the bosses. If I die, I lose like 3 minutes, whatever, in a dungeon, right? So it's like one of those things. Okay, so we need to practice that, right? Like, and then once those kind of core fundamentals go, like you kind of build on other things there as well. But I think a big part of it too is just like that mindset, right? And like, I'm so kind of comfy in that zone where I'm not like overthinking it. And, you know, I've gotten that trap where I have definitely, and it's shown in some tournaments in the future. but like, I felt like I played at my best when I didn't really worry as much. Right. Like I just kind of went out there, did my thing, and then whatever happens, happens. Right.
What about, let me ask you this. Cause there was, when I started, Emo Tracker was already around, which is like a pretty good introductory tool where, you know, like gives you map locations. And of course we have Dunka Tracker now and stuff and some other trackers. What was the tracking situation for you in 2017? Like, was there a way to, was Cross Products Tracker available, or what were you using?
I don't remember which one I used. I don't think it was Emo to start. I think there was another tool that was out there, but it was very like, it was just the tracker, right? And that's kind of how I learned the game. That's how I continue to play the game. I don't like use the map tracker, right? Okay. So it's one of those things where luckily like the basic suite kind of works for me. I feel like a lot of you guys are spoiled with that map tracker. Totally. That's such a cool tool, right?
Yeah, I think there's a like a sentiment for I want to say older guys, older people in the community that were around before the map trackers were commonplace, where it's like you know, like you and Zero Rush and Andy and things that don't really ever take advantage of it for whatever reasons, just because you're not used to it, or you know, you learned without it. But it's you know, it was such a valuable tool for new runners, I think. Mm-hmm. It also may be a hindrance. I don't know where you land on map trackers or not, but some people rely too much on it for doing all their logic. But
yeah, for sure. And that's like, I don't want to skip too fast forward into the conversation, but like, you know, talking about stuff when I was on the council, right, we would we talk about map trackers and trackers and stuff like that. And I think that was my biggest bone to pick, was that I loved map tracking for what it had to offer for our newer players. As a great tool and suite that can help them, you know, learn the game a lot faster than I was able to, right? Because it's such a powerful tool. But the trade-off on that is that now it becomes a reliance on that. And then it gets to the question of, should we really have this in the competitive space, right? Because then it comes to the point where, okay, I'm just like seeing all these boxes disappear and I'm just kind of following those boxes, right? I'm not really thinking so much as I'm just kind of, okay, this is what's left. This is what I need to do kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's necessarily what happens, because I know some people are probably like, no, Solsky, that's not how it works. But, you know, again, that's just from my instance, like just kind of using it in like a limited space where I'm just like, it's nice, but for me, it's just not for me, right? So.
Sure. Yeah, I remember having that conversation, being part of the council, because you and I were both members of the first, at least the first term. I'm not sure how long. How long did you stay on? Were you on for a couple?
I think I was one and done. I think
one and done.
If I remember correctly. Yeah, because P-Train and them were on season two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. It was only one season. Like him and Hod on it, but I felt like, you know what, at that time, I think.
I wasn't racing as much anymore anyways in the to the past. So I kind of wanted to step aside for some guys that were up and coming in the community. And you had some great candidates come in anyways and take my place, right? But I, like, my place in season one, I kind of wanted to try and help out and kind of grow it and, you know, do the best I could. I know we had a lot of issues with season one, not so much like from a council perspective, but more like a lot of issues to deal with, right? As the first council. Sure. It's almost like you get into this new role and then like your boss comes around and plops those folders down on your desk. That's kind of like what it felt like, right? So
yeah, it was like, here's Borough Council. What are we doing? Like, we got to figure it out. So, I mean, we'll go back to, we're going to jump back and forth, but let's talk, since we're already here, let's talk council stuff. What made you want to apply on the council? And then tell me about your feelings about that first term that you did.
I thought it was just like, it was a super cool concept, right? Like, I haven't heard of a kind of a group of runners that kind of had their say and how the competitive worked. I know in other games, it's kind of drifted that way, but they didn't really have like kind of an official title towards it. And not so much like an authority, right? But more just kind of like helping out the community and with some of their issues, right? And like, obviously cheating was a big one at the time with season one, but just other things like rule sets and new glitches coming down the pipe and everything like that. So it was really cool to kind of voice in some input and have some, valuable feedback and just discussions with my peers was really fun, honestly. I kind of enjoyed my time on the council for that. I know there's like some parts where it was kind of a bit of a pain in the ass, right? Like, dealing with someone's fourth alt for the ninth time kind of thing, right? But that may not have been Stony Town, right? But like,
Totally. And the banning of Ultima was also that when you have to ban someone, it's never a good time, especially with, I didn't have a relationship with Ultima. I'm not sure if you did or not, but people were friends with him and that sucks. Yeah.
I knew him, like, I was friendly with him, talked to him a couple times at like SGL and stuff, got to know him a little bit then. But then after that, he was gone, right? So it was like, I was just starting to get to know him.
Yeah.
And then he was out, right? So that was one, I feel like you're in the same position where I had to lean kind of on a lot of input from other people.
Yeah.
Regarding, because I wasn't too familiar with the case, but the evidence was pretty compelling at that one. That was just it was almost like just completely open shut. And I know, like, you can always look at these and kind of, one comment I actually had to talk to a couple people about, like GDQ. The second one I went to, I was talking to a couple people and like, man, but like over one race. And I was like, I mean, did you see all the notes on the one race though? Like it's, but I also added too, as like, it's not quite public, but it was one of those things like, there were other instances as well. This is the one case that was public and, scrutinized, but there were other instances as well that were kind of identified as well, right? So
and I mean one of the things that the council, one of the reasons the council was there was because the admins that created ALTTPR didn't, let's just say, they didn't handle cheating well.
No,
right? Like, it was this sort of albatross of like what to do, and then like people calling them out, and then just, they needed something, so it made sense for them to like pass it off to a council. But speaking of cheating, I mean, you have one of the most infamous moments in ALTTPR history when it comes to cheating, and that's the match with I Smoke Meth Daily 420. I never remember his full name.
I Smoke Meth 69 with all underscores, but
just okay, so tell me from your perspective, what did you end up winning that race? I forget, he won it, right?
No, I lost, but it was close,
right? And I mean, obviously he cheated and would have lost big time because of where the hammer ended up being on Zora, and he skipped it, and then once you got it, beelined to Zora. So what was your perspective after the race, during the race? Just kind of give us your perspective on it all.
So I'll kind of like go like before the race, right? Like, it's Swiss. I think it was the 3-3 Swiss. I can't remember which one it was, but I'll be quite honest. At the time, I didn't know of any suspicious play. I knew of one person that was banned beforehand, and that was kind of shocking. But from what I was told, it was more like, I don't want to reveal too many details of like how they're caught and everything like that, because confidentiality. Yeah. But it sounded pretty okay. It's reasonable. This is okay. So they just kind of did this, and I didn't really think too much of it, right? So at the time, I guess I can say I was pretty innocent, if you want to say that, to like cheating and stuff. Even like other games, right? Like, I didn't really think about it. FPSs, there's aimbots and macros and like RTSs, right? But when we're going to this, I'm not like thinking, I'm not in that headspace to saying, oh yeah, someone's gonna cheat at Zelda randomizer, but yeah.
Totally. And then it happens in your race. Obviously, you don't know it happens while you're racing, right?
Like yeah.
You're racing, and you just lose, and you're kind of like probably a little bummed, right?
Well, it sucked because at the time it was someone I looked up to, right? Because he was a good runner. He seemed friendly. Again, other people might have other interactions or whatever, but me, it was limited, and he was fine with me, right? And I was really excited to race him. I always, my big thing with this, like my earlier time in racing, is I was like, I always want to race. Like I had like a hit list of people I want to race. Like I want to race ACL MLM. I want to race Smoke. I want to race. I think Andy was in there, but boy, howdy if I raced him over the years. You know, just like the really top guys, because those are like your benchmarks, and those are like, okay, like how good am I really? Like Mike the viewer, right, was a good one too. Zero Rush would have been a great one, right? So it's like, it's those kind of matchups where I'm like, oh man, I hope I get destroyed by these guys, but I'm going to have so much fun doing it. So we get in the Smoke match. I'm like, oh, I've been practicing hard. I want to really see like how far I can take this. And then like I'm playing it, and then he like beats me. I felt so good in that race too. Like I felt like I got really lucky in the start with that hammer, like really overprotecting Zora. And that was kind of a meme strat early too. I think it was when Waterfall Cave was just implemented, and where like Houlihan was like a really strong start. So it was like a good combo, and it just landed in that hammer, and I was, oh, this is so big, right? Because I knew in the back of my head, Meth would have went Aga, right? Because I watched a lot of runners, and I knew kind of how their habits were. So I was like, okay, I'm kind of cruising here. And then I got Gomo at a good spot. I think my Gomo was like in pendant ice, and I didn't like where it was, but I felt confident enough with how the start went. I'm like, okay, I should still have a chance. Then I saw the finish time as I'm climbing GT or kind of entering Ganon or whatever. I'm like, oh man. But you know, I was happy it was a close race. And then the DMs started coming, and then it was like crazy, right? Like I had people asking me like so many questions about it. I was like, wait, what? And I saw so many people like were upset. Like that was the first thing I saw. I was like, wait, what's going on with this race? Like I didn't really know what was going on. And then, you know, then I had like admins approach me and ask me what I thought about the race and everything like that. I'm like, hey, have you had a chance to go back and watch the race? And then I think Ak was asking me a couple of things, but then his infamous video came out. And let me tell you, like I'm not saying this against any party, but like this whole experience at this point, like I honestly wanted to leave. Like I felt so bad because I was like, this is such a big matchup I'm looking forward to. And it was like, I felt like I was like, oh man, this really sucks. So then it was like, you know, I was talking to the admins. So I was really neutral for it. I'm like, guys, I don't know what to tell you. In my experience, I can kind of say, okay, maybe this is a little reasonable. I definitely have questions about this stuff, but you guys are going to be able to determine more than I would right at that point. So after that, I didn't really hear much. And then he kind of just said, you know what? He had to go take care of some stuff, and then he was gone. Right. Like it wasn't so like an official. Actually,
there was no ban on him, right?
Yeah. No official one. Right. Like I think the terminology is he wasn't banned, but it was kind of a thing where he left before he can get banned. I think it's the proper way to put it. But I think so that's what really. He knew, and he got out of Dodge before, but like I think it was one of those things that you'll probably segue to next is, you know, that was like the start of the scrutiny of cheating. And, you know, I feel like that's where you're talking about when you're saying like, you know, the admins maybe didn't do as good of a job initially. And I'll agree to that to an extent. But, you know, at that point, like, I feel like they didn't really have a lot of discoverability or you know, experience.
It was the Wild West, man. It was the Wild West. Like so everything is new. Yeah, I mean, we're playing an old game, but everything about Link to the Past Randomizer is still relatively new. I mean, you know, when you consider like the Racing Council is only a few years old, and, you know, the explosion didn't really happen until like late 2017, early 2018. And, you know, again, the game's old, but the randomizer of the game's only 4 or 5 years old. So it makes sense that there's not, you know, a way to, I'm not downplaying what the admins did. They were all trying to figure it out. So it made sense for there to be a council at the time, but
yeah.
All right. So let's rewind the clock just a little bit and go back to when you first started playing. Were you able to find a community, or were you kind of on your own? Who kind of embraced you when you first started playing the game?
Bent Easy was the main one, right? Like, we kind of hung out a lot and chat with each other, that sort of thing, played a lot with. You're going to laugh at this one. Stogie Town was another one. I know you guys kind of had a little bit of a history, but...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it was Stogie at the time, but totally.
Yeah, so Stogie, you know, this is beforehand, and there's a whole story, I feel like, that's untold with him that we can maybe go into, but...
Sure.
So there was him, you know, I think, God, tip of my tongue, it's so hard to think about it right now because it's so long ago, I guess, in these days, right?
Right.
But yeah, Ben and Stogie were probably the big two. I know Teej was in there too. We'd race from time to time, and I think that was it. I know I'm gonna get flack for this from people and just be like, really, Solsky, you didn't say me? But I'm just kind of drawing a blank right now. I'm like, they're really early, but there's obviously people I talked to too. I feel like the first main tournament I shouldn't call it main tournament, but the first tournament I entered was that entrance tournament, and that debacle, and that was my first experience to tournament play. How much do you know of that tournament, by the way?
Not a lot. That was that was before my time.
So I'll give you know the audience and yourself kind of a brief history lesson on that. So that was like probably the mainish tournament I did. It was entrance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was having fun with that. I was learning entrance, everything like that. And
this
I
remember is pre cross keys, right? There's no this is like key sanity entrance. It's literally just entrance at this
point. It's just entrance. It's like early adoption of entrance, right? So you're talking like simple, basically. I can't remember if it was simple or full. It was one or the other. But it was basic. It was like basic entrance. No keys. Mm-hmm. Just entrance. So I was learning that on stream one day, and it was either Asder or Jay Cofer came into my chat, and I was talking about like pedestal. I'm like, oh, I got to sketch a pedestal. And he's like, one of them were like, yeah, don't bother. It just like never happens in entrance. Okay, no problem. Lo and behold, the next like five seeds all had pedestal seeds. Mine was included, one of them. And I was against Pika Pals, right? And, you know, Pika Pals is a real good runner.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those things where you don't want to lose because you had like pedestal knowledge 3 minutes after they did, because you were just like, oh, it just never happens.
Right.
And I think you can see where I'm going. There was a bit of an investigation on like cook seeds, if you want to call them that, or pre-pick seeds. And it was found out, they handpicked them.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where like, wow, no one just wants to play in this tournament anymore. And then like there's like this whole thing between like Ben and Croya that I don't really want to go into. It wasn't anything personal to them, but then the org went into Croya's chat and spoiled locations for him when he was racing Ben live.
That sucks.
That's where I stood up. I was like, what actually the hell? So like I got a Discord with the lads. I was like, guys, like this is like, we gotta do something about this. So yeah, we all kind of like pulled out after that. Like we were like, yeah, we're done. See ya.
Yeah. That's nuts.
That was the first tournament, by the way. That was the first tournament.
That is like, bananas.
I've heard like people get flack for other tournaments, and like I've heard flack about the main tournament and like the picks and stuff. Like guys, trust me, perspective, it could be much worse.
Much worse.
Much worse.
It's funny to think how fine-tuned the tournaments are now compared to, you know, when they first started. Again, it was the Wild West. Like
crazy.
It was people just trying to figure this shit out, and nobody really knew. And then obviously you have some shady shit going down too as well.
Oh yeah.
So you're playing in the tournaments. You did the 512 Swiss, obviously. Mm-hmm. That was the where the smoke meth race happened. How did you finish in that tournament? Do you remember?
Oh God, I don't remember, honestly. I want to say I made groups, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. I either main groups washed out or I didn't make it past Swiss. And I think it was that match that was the decider. That was the other thing that was kind of like, oh, that sucks, was that like the win was still on smoke side. I still had the loss, even though they're
Yeah.
So like I had that, right? So I'm pretty sure I didn't make it past in Swiss on that one. But that was all right. I made brackets in a ton of other tournaments afterwards, right? Like I think that was the last one where I didn't. After that, I just like started churning them out. So
when did Super Metroid get introduced to all of this? The Super Metroid randomizer happening around the same time as Link to the Past? Because I honestly have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, it was. So there was another, like, I wasn't aware of Super Metroid randomizer. Like, I was focused in, zeroed in on the Link to the Past. And, you know, people like Total were working on Super Metroid randomizer. There's a couple of other people there as well. I don't quite remember the names, but there's a couple of other ones working on it as well. And they had their own thing, right? Like, their community did their own thing with it. They didn't really have a lot of cross play or cross iteration between Link to the Past and Super Metroid. There wasn't a lot of, you know, you have Super Metroid runners that are coming over to play Link to the Past rando or vice versa. So it was kind of like, hey, this is our community's kind of cool thing, and this is our community's kind of cool thing over here, right? Kind of just stayed that way. And so one fateful day, as I'm sure you're going to talk about, is that Super Metroid Link to the Past combo randomizer came out. That was sick.
When was this? Is this 2018, 2019?
That was like early 2018, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the tournament rushed, like it was a third party tournament, I guess you can call it. Rushed in to try and be the first tournament for SMZ3. So, which was crazy because it was still in beta and it was still, they're still developing the logics, right? So they had so the logics were basically based on Super Metroid's randomizer logic. So they had like this normal casual one where it was like, okay, you only have to really do these fundamental tricks in Super Metroid, which, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say condescending to call them that because they're not that easy. It took me quite a while to learn a couple of them, but the basics, I guess you can call them. And then there were the really, okay, you need to really learn the game to play this mode, right? And then, so we're playing that. So we're playing like the tournament mode, the harder version of it, which was built for racing, by the way. And it really only impacted Super Metroid, but not Link to the Past. And then they came out with the hard mode logic that we know more or less today. And like some people dropped out because they're like, yeah, we didn't build this logic to race. We just built it as a fun thing. And they're like, yeah, no, we're going to do it on hard mode. So then we all had to like, sit down, learn all these new tricks.
Yeah.
Like that are just like insane that like weren't really done in Super Metroid Rando before either. So we were like, okay, let's have some fun with this. Right. But yeah, it was, I stuck with it and just, it was a good opportunity to kind of learn the game. And
because you're going in fresh, right? Like you're playing Link to the Past and you may have played Super Metroid in the past as a kid, but you, I mean, there, as far as I know, there isn't a lot of ROM hacks for, if any, for Super Metroid. So how familiar were you with Super Metroid at this point? And was it your friend group that kind of got you into it? Or like what kind of put its hooks in you?
I can't remember exactly how I'd stumbled upon it. I think it might've been Alu and Wild were doing something about it with like a speed gaming thing where they're showcasing it off. I think that's what kind of got me into it, just to see it. And I was like, oh, this is sick. Then got involved with it right away. Just like learning it and learning the game, playing Super Metroid standalone, learning that rando. That was fun. I'm like, okay, let's try this tournament logic. I tell you, man, I got into a seed. Like the first seed I played for Super Metroid Rando was like a 4 reserve, no E-Tank, Fantine required. And I was like, oh, okay, this is, all right, I'm going to have to really learn this game because that was like, that was rough, right? So, so there was like those kind of bumps in the road. But again, it was a lot of fun to learn a new game. For familiar, I was way more familiar with Super Metroid. It's a shorter game, but I also played it a lot more because I owned the game as a kid. I 100%ed it like every playthrough. So I more or less knew most locations already. And it was pretty familiar. Like I'm still playing, except for one minor change, the same original controller setup, which some people say are insane, where X button shoots. But, you know, I'm just used to playing like a lobster and kind of claw gripping my controller and playing it that way. Right. So
you kind of you stay within the Link to the Past randomizer community, but you kind of become a SMZ3 main. Like, are you helping out with as they're developing this? Because you're there early, right? They're still in beta. Are you helping out with the logic? Are you helping out building the community? Like what was your role?
I would say my role is more as a runner and just kind of a, you know, a community figure and just like helping out with the game with exposure and running it and everything like that. You know, exposure being like my 10 to 20 viewer channel at the time. Right. But just having fun with it and having a good time is kind of a cool kind of collection of, you know, new, I guess, members of the community, right? Because now you have exposure to Super Metroid runners and you have Link to the Past runners are kind of getting friendly and everything like that, right? Because there's these new faces that we've never kind of interacted with. So it was kind of neat that way. And to compete, like my first, like my big loss to get out of the first, I guess, the Rush tournament, the hard mode tournament, was against Zost, right? So I play the guy that I used to watch DDQs, right? Like, play Super Metroid. I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Like, again, talking back to the, I want to play the best.
Yeah.
And he killed me, but it was, you know, I had a lot of fun with it. And Super Nintendo, actually, shout out to him. He had a really good run in that tournament too, right? Like, I didn't know he played a lot of Super Metroid as well, but man, he like went all the way to the finals, I think, in that one, right? So with, I think Azdra taking it, so.
It's such a weird combination. Like, obviously it makes sense because they're both Super Nintendo games, but and the randomizers work on their own regards, like Super Metroid randomizer, Link to the Past randomizer.
Mm-hmm.
You smash them together, it's just such a weird combination because the skill set is completely different. Like, playing Metroid and playing Link to the Past is not the same at all.
Not.
Did you find the transition difficult? Has it become easier?
I think it was easy for me personally for a couple of reasons. Like Super Metroid is a shorter game.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the basics down, it's far easier, right? Like, and you know, some people will be like, what are you talking about? That's a terrible game. Like, some people actually don't like Super Metroid because of all the movement.
I mean, they're wrong for sure. It's like one of the greatest games of all time.
Exactly. But you clean up the movement as you kind of play and practice, right? It's like Link to the Past, right? Like, you're not going to like get all these pixel perfect dashes on your first try. It's the same with Super Metroid and getting all your ledge grabs and your short charges and everything like that. Stuff you learn, right? But
I think the platforming is just a bit, because again, we're looking at, when you think of Metroid, you kind of think of Mario, you think of Zelda, you think of like Castlevania stuff. And Mario's platforming is so clean.
Yes.
And I don't want to say that Metroid's is unclean, but it's finicky, right? Like the platforming is pretty, it's tight. It's just a different sort of platforming that is, it just feels a little bit more clunky than like than Mario.
So the term I've heard is, it's the scientific term is actually, it's jank. And I actually absolutely agree with it, because it's like, it is, right? Like you have to learn about the nuances of it to kind of understand how it works. Sure. And you just get so familiar with it. And again, it's a shorter game, so you can pile on the hours a little bit quicker to kind of, okay, so this is how you should kind of maneuver and operates. And even to this day, I'm just like, wow, man, like this game is nuts sometimes. But
it is. And the stuff that that you guys have been able to do with, like, you know, glitches and all that stuff is pretty nice as well. Did you ever move into speedrunning either Super Metroid or Link to the Past Randomizer?
Super Metroid, actually. Link to the Past
game? You did?
So Link to the Past, no. So my reasoning behind it is that NMG to me was boring, I want to say, right? Like, it felt like it was such a... It's kind of weird. Like, I know I've talked to a lot of people about it. I know I've talked to Ari about it, and kind of like the nuances I feel like with NMG. But I felt like at the time it just didn't really appease to me. Whereas Super Metroid being like a game that I grew up playing, like, you know, Link to the Past I rented, so it wasn't really as close to my heart. Like, I kind of developed it as I went along my life, right? But Super Metroid's kind of always been there. So it was like, all right, let's give her a go, right? And just it was great to do that too, because I felt like to kind of really do well in the randomizer, I felt like it was really far more beneficial to do the speedrun than, say, like learning NMG for Link to the Past, because I could pile on like tons of hours on bosses and stuff in Link to the Past. And sure, I can get like death by a thousand cuts on some time losses here and there. But like, as we talked about earlier, like bosses are probably one of your biggest time sinks. Like if it goes wrong, whereas Super Metroid, like that's just death of a thousand cuts. That's your only option. Like a bad boss fight would compound, but like you're losing time. Like the second you step into that game, you're not performing well. And it's just, it's kind of multiplied too, like versus how good some of these runners were. So I kind of identified that. I was like, I gotta bulk up on this. So I learned the 90% route and practiced that for a bit and got pretty confident. I'm not really at the time I want to be right now. I want to go back to it eventually, but it's one of those things like, you know, I'm kind of comfy where I'm at for now. I got what I needed out of it, and you know, I don't need to be the best runner in the world to kind of win a randomizer race, luckily. So it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, this is good enough, right? So
sure. So you talk about, you know, wanting to race against the best and you know, trying to compete, just kind of be in the conversation with some of the best. And now you're, you know, a couple years into the game and you're a contemporary with a lot of these runners. You said you started going to GDQs as well. Have you been going to GDQs?
Yep. So first one was 2019. I went to 2020, the last live one, both a GDQs before obviously COVID and everything like that happened. Right. But
yeah,
it was great. Right. Cause 2019 was where I got to meet a lot of people in the community, in both communities. Right. Get to play some SMZ3, some Link to the Past, you know, some Super Metroid, hang with some people, meet a lot of great people from the Super Metroid community, a lot of people from the Link to the Past community. And, you know, just kind of, again, just get that FaceTime with them, right? Because everything is online through the medium of text or their streams or whatever, and you don't really get to meet them.
Right.
So it's kind of good to spend some time with them and everything like that, right?
Yeah. And I think, were you even at Speed Gaming Live, the one that they had that was actually live? Yeah.
Yeah, I was at that one. That was a lot of fun, I think.
Right, because that was very Link to the Past heavy. I mean, there were Super Metroid people there as well, but very Link to the Past randomizer heavy.
It was good because it was just like, it was more close-knit because it was more tied into those communities versus like just gaming as a whole, right? So it was smaller, so you weren't getting like lost in the sea of people. So
I mean, GDQ is huge, and it's you know, a week, and it's a million different communities because you have all the different games that are going on and stuff. But
yeah
Was it, what was that feeling like when you start, meeting, you know, the people that you were watching and start,
right?
Not just being a fan, you're part of the community now, you know, like.
It felt really good, right? Just to kind of meet them. Cause like, to me, like, it's like, you gotta look at it from my kind of perspective for a second. It's like, I'm driving out there 9 hours on the road from like, you know, Ontario, Canada, all the way down to DC area for the first GDP, right? So I'm obviously putting in a lot of mileage just to kind of come out and meet these people. And it's like, obviously these people hate me, right? Like, just like, I guess I'll just kind of play, you know, rando for a week and just that'll be it, right? But like, no, it was a lot of fun meeting people, like going out to dinner with people and just kind of getting to know them a little bit better, right? And again, just kind of get those personal touches with them, right? So it was a lot of fun. Sure.
Yeah. And it's, I guess it's probably hard for you to say that you're equal or in equal footings, but you know, your name is synonymous with a lot of this stuff now as well. Like, you know, you have a very, very, you know, you're one of those people. You're Solsky. You're the eggplant of the community. Did that happen? When did the eggplant sort of become your symbol?
Oh, God. I don't know if it was, I think it was Intidemy, aka Cephia. I saw use it once. I didn't even know it was a sprite option at the time, but when I saw it play it, I saw the animations. I'm like, dude, I got to play this thing once. Because I used to do the Hyrule Knight, like the ball and chain.
Okay.
Guard. That was the old sprite I used to use a lot. And then I transitioned afterwards to that, right? So it's kind of like, I I don't know if it was so much from the smoke match or what it was, like an after effect of it. Like, I kind of want a new coat of paint, right? And I just stuck with that one. I'm like, this thing's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I just like kept with it. And like, you know, I get like, I still to this day get people in my chat be like, new viewers popped up, you know, so-and-so, 12349. Why the eggplant? I'm just like, why not?
Why not?
Because they always think it's like that, you know, the other meaning for the eggplant. And I'm just like,
yeah, it's the dick.
Yeah, I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I just think it's hilarious. It's a well-made sprite.
Right? Yeah, sure.
I make jokes all the time about him praying at the desert. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen him pray at the desert. I've
paid attention to it. Yeah. It's
so funny. Like, when he prays at the desert tablet to open up desert, it censors.
Oh, it does?
That's amazing. Because he's like putting his feet together.
So
now it's a dick, basically.
Yeah, and that's
every
hilarious.
Time I see it, I just laugh. I just kind of, to this day, I still kind of crack up, right?
It is good. The bunny sprite for it is excellent too, right? It's the peach.
Yeah, the peach.
So good. So you're part of the community. You end up joining the league, I'm gonna say, in season one.
Season two, actually. Yep.
Was it season two? Okay, so season two, with, I think, my favorite name that's ever been, and there's some really good names in the league, but the Yuteng Clan.
Yep.
with Apathy Duck and Emo Sorrow. So tell me about your guys' like kind of journey into the league.
I can't remember who asked who, but it was like, hey, you want to do this? Sure. And then the Yuteng Clan was formed. That's pretty much the backstory.
That seems about right. Who came up with the name and the idea and all that kind of stuff?
It was either Duck or Emo. And I was all bored with it. Cause I was like, oh yeah, I love the Yuteng Clan. That's awesome. Right. Like,
yeah.
Cause you know, Emo has like, a lot of people don't know, Emo has like a big musician's background. Right. And Duck likes his rap. If you've been on his channel. Right. So it was kind of a natural thing for them, but then like, it just got off the rails so quick. Like it was literally like that night I asked them at like 10 PM and then like 4 AM Emo's and Duck are like DMing me like the concept art for that logo. I'm like, are you guys kidding me?
Because you guys went full board with that was excellent.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, what is this?
Emo does race mostly just tournaments now. And then Duck was mostly it. I don't know, I gotta talk with Duck. I don't know if he was doing ALTTPR first or Metroid first, but you know, he had become a part of the crew of the SMZ, you know, Z3 runners.
I think he's both, right? Like, he did a lot of Link to the Past, NMG stuff. He did helped out with the All Dungeons tournament that happened a couple years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, he was big in SM, has a much better time than I do. He's pretty good at the game. I give him a lot of flack at it, right? Like, I'm just like, come on, Duck. Like, really? 46, by the way, right? Like, I'll go into his chat when he makes those mistakes. But, you know, it's just kind of getting under his feathers, lack a better term, right? So.
Were they just part of your crew then, or the people that you were hanging out with? Is that how the team up happened?
I think I just asked them, honestly. I was like, hey, how about we just do this, guys? Because I think they were like, I was joking around with Emo about League, and then she mentioned something about Duck. I was like, all right, well, let's just form a team, guys.
I can't remember how you guys did, but you guys played for a couple seasons, and then you jumped ship.
Yeah, we did great in season two. We got stomped by Andy's team in the brackets. I think that was the first team we raced against. The coveted that was the regular season where Andy did that death hover.
Yes.
And then Evo and ducked his team. And like, there's nothing you could have done. Don't worry about it. Right. Like, it's just like,
oh man, if you can find them, there's a VODs on YouTube for those, but that was you versus Andy, right? And Andy fairy hovers Paradox Cave, and Paradox Cave was just loaded, loaded, and it was just like, oh, GG's.
Just killed me, dead on arrival from that point, right? That happens, but.
Yeah, totally.
It's just one of those things, right? So, but the third season, we didn't do so hot, but honestly, we came in with like really kind of mediocre expectations, right? Like, it was kind of a him and hot moment if we really wanted to do it. And we're like, we'll just do it. And we'll just have fun with it. And then, you know, the results, we played against a lot of really good teams. I think season three was like really strong from what I remember.
Yeah. You're part of the Invitational too as well. Like, Invitational.
Yeah. And it was like, woo. Yeah. We like wall to wall. And myself personally, I remember I got matched up against a lot of good runners that just like kicked my ass. So, it's just one of those things, like, you know what, still have fun doing it. It sucks losing, right? No one likes, no one really likes losing. But it's just one of those things that you do it enough, you kind of learn how to kind of handle it. So it's just one of those things, like, it happens. It's fine.
So, but then you join Pug Trio.
Yeah.
So how did that go about? Cause Wadey was, so the Pug Trio was Andy, Futon, and Wadey, and they always make the playoffs, but they never, I don't think they won a playoff series. And then Wadey, you know, went away and retired from Rando doing his own thing. How do you get fit in there?
Okay. So I was in Andy's chat one day and, in his channel, and he's talking about, you know, people are asking me, hey, are you guys doing season four? Are you guys doing season four? And at this point, like, you know what, like Doc Emo and I already knew we weren't going to go do another season. So we're like, yeah, that was our last hurrah kind of thing. And I just like jokingly put in his chat and like, hey, so if Wadey is no show, you know, how about me, buddy? How about me? And, you know, I guess there was another person that was asking at the same time too. And Andy just like slides into my DMs like a week later. He's like, so you want to join? I'm like, yes. And then that was pretty much that was it right from there.
Yeah. And you guys actually had a really good season, right? You actually.
Yes. Yes.
What made it to the conference finals, I think.
Yeah, against, we did.
The Titans. I can't remember who it was against.
For me, I don't feel like I did that well in that season either. I definitely did better in the third season, right? But I felt like I didn't play as well. But I actually did practice. Like, this is kind of a rare thing for me. I don't normally practice these days. I haven't practiced a lot since like 2018, actually. It's kind of a mindset and methodology thing we'll talk about maybe a little bit later. But, you know, I actually did practice because like I knew that like they had some rough lucks in you know, brackets and stuff like that in the playoffs. And I kind of wanted to help them go deep. And sure enough, there were some pivotal matches where I helped them like get in there. Right. So it was good to see them go so far. Kind of sucks they weren't able to get a championship because like Andy hasn't gotten one for a while. Futon, I don't think, has won one yet. So I've won a couple with SMZ3 at the time. So I was just like, yeah, let's get one for the team. Right. So
I remember seeing you. I think you and Futon were doing like veterans co-op practice, which was a little surprising to see.
Yeah. That's like something I don't normally will do for a tournament. Like I don't normally practice at all. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, let's get this one right. And we got all the way to the finals. We ran into a really, really good team, right? And Team Titan Mets. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was the finals. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
God, I think we ran into all really good teams, honestly, in that bracket. It's like Error 216, like, I said, I don't know, boys, like flip a coin. It's probably going to land on them like 70% of the time. So,
yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Where are you at as far as playing the game goes? Because I don't see you play a ton. You've kind of moved into like a restream role almost, but you're still playing in tournaments and stuff. So where are you at as far as playing the game?
That's a good question, right? So I'm like a new dad now, so it's hard for me to commit to tournament times these days. I had to pass in the last two major tournaments, actually, minus SGL, because it was like right around the perfect time. I think I'm going to do the SGL on-site events because I'll be there again this year. But cool. For like the major tournaments, I try and shy away from them these days just because they're such a big commitment, right? Like, and depending on how far I go into them, I go into them like, hey, I want to go in there and compete. So I don't want to waste other people's time, but it's also, I don't want to, you know, go through that gauntlet kind of thing. Do I really want to go through that timeliness of it? Because, you know, you got to go and schedule your matches every week. They run forever, like historically, especially these big major ones, they run for actual ever. And, you know, to be honest, there's a big appetite away from that. Like, a lot of runners are talking about, like, you know what, I don't really like these big tournaments anymore for this reason. Like, a lot of them are getting families now. And it's just like, it's really tough to be able to kind of commit that timing and that amount of, like, you know, effort and, you know, keeping up with the game. And a lot of people do like to practice during tournament time. Luckily, I'm one of those guys that don't, but
luckily, yeah,
it just helps so much with the mindset, right? Like, not doing that, just, you know, I know how to play the game, just play the game. You know, I could be a little bit sharper with it, sure, but, you know, I think it'd be worse, so that's kind of why I don't do it. I was gonna say, and then you mentioned, like, just the restream stuff, so kind of going into, like, those invitationals, hosting those, and like other content as well. Now it's kind of just like a fun project right now that's been getting a lot of good traction, honestly.
Yeah. Tell me more about the invitationals, because you've ran a couple of them, right?
Yeah. So the first one was like an SMZ3 one. I want to run like a really cool concept of like a shotgun tourney. Because again, like talking with my peers and they're like, yeah, I hate these long tournaments. So I kind of want to host a really quick, cool tournament for them. I kind of like, it was my first one as running, so I didn't really want to run in it as well. And, you know, not be able to kind of talk to people or kind of manage stuff if needed. So I kind of was like, all right, whatever, I'll put up some money for it. And, you know, guys, just have fun with it. And got a lot of positive responses, like from the viewers, from the runners. I had Fiesel DM me afterwards because it was hosted on SG, saying, yeah, man, like, you did great on this. Like, it was like their hottest ticket for that weekend. And like, we were beating out like Zos versus, I think it was Zenny in the SM Any Percent tournament, which was crazy to me. Right. Like, so like we were beating that draw. So like, I knew like, all right. So there's buy-in. Right. So fast forward, like, and they take forever to kind of procure and talk to runners with and get everything kind of straightened out. Fast forward to, like, you know, late last year, where I invite the runners for the second one. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do the second one. It was going to be SM and Link to the Past and some SMZ through with Andy and I. And that was mainly because, like, I kind of shoehorned myself and how I had it set up with that kind of pick system and like how I had the drafts work. So it was something where I had to have a neutral match first within that system that I more or less stole from Age of Empires.
Nice.
And so I was like, all right, Andy and I will just race the first one as the captains, and then we'll let the other runners like go through the ebb and flow of the tournament. And it was a lot of fun. That one did well too. That was on my own channel, so that was the first time I did like one of these things on my own channel, and that was like, again, well received. And then like I started like looking at like, okay, so what other cool kind of stuff can do, like, so Fight Night I was talking about, where it was like kind of showcases of matchups, like friendly matchups, you know, whatever, or like anything that people want to showcase or whatever on like Saturday nights. And then like I just start, you know, like taking it one step further. I'm like, what happens if I just start casting tournament matches? So then Andy like actually approached me. He's like, I want you to cast all my matches. I'm like, okay. like we're good friends, right? But it was just like out of the nowhere. He's like, yeah, I want you to cast all my matches. I give you my permission. I'm like, well, what about like the other runners? He's like, I don't care. I'm giving you my permission to cast my matches. So then I go and ask the runners, like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Are you okay with it? And whatever. And it's like gotten a lot of good response. And Andy hosts them on his YouTube, right? And I definitely have been enjoying the kind of backlash of that, because then like a lot of his YouTube viewers have been like in droves just following my channel because of it, right? And they're like, oh man, he's doing so good at commentating and everything. And that's cool and all. It's not really why I'm doing it, so to speak. I'm just kind of having fun with it, right? Like, it's just kind of a neat little byproduct of it.
Right. Trying to find something that you can enjoy that's not necessarily racing, right? Yeah.
It's like less stressful. It's like, hey, the match is happening. I can kind of set and forget it. I don't have to worry about like the mental prep going into a match for like a tournament. I'm just like, I'm just calling the actions I see. And it's a lot easier for me mentally these days too, right? Like, I'm just like, I'm just talking about a race, watching it, not playing it at like a high level, right? So yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Fight Night stuff has been really cool. You actually I was featured on there against Gamishu with a little cross keys animizer. That was pretty fun.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good times. All right. So we're going to wrap this up. But I do want to end it, because you talked about, I want to end it on this topic. You talked about getting used to losing.
Okay.
That's not something that my mind in the last 4 years has been able to wrap itself around. And so I like to ask the guests about tilt and how you handle tilt and how do you handle losing and how do you approach it? So what is your approach to not getting tilted out of the game?
Okay, so I'll start by saying that I'm definitely not an angel when it comes to that. Like, I think everyone is susceptible to it. Like, everyone has their moments where like, oh man, I shouldn't have lost this. This sucks. For me personally, like, and I found like I've performed at my best at a tournament level. When I kind of look back at my idol, Stefano from StarCraft 2, a really skilled player, really good at the game, didn't practice, didn't really look like he gave a shit, right? But he did, obviously. But it's just his demeanor where he's just very cool and calm about stuff. And he just kind of took it at face value, and he did really well because of it. So it's one of those things that I'm like, is this the juice? Is this the magic? You know what I mean? The formula? Yeah. And then like the first SMZ3 tournament I did really well. I was undefeated up until Andy and I lost. And I took that loss so hard. I was in a bad spot. Like I was about to like drop off the face of the earth, Brando. And then I joined the next 1v1. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to play it like that. I'm not going to care. I know I'm good. I can just kind of go out there and just play the game and go from there. And sure enough, I won it. And I honestly did not practice for a single match. Like even against like the Aussies, even against the Azers, I just kind of did my thing. And, you know, I lost a couple of matches in that tournament, but not very many, and ended up winning the whole thing. Right. So it's just one of those things where I'm just like, that's kind of what's missing.
Mm.
And that's, I think for me, at least, it was a lot easier to kind of accept that. Like, I know I'm going to take losses. Like when I lost against Aster in game 2, I'm like, you know what? I could have played better. I kind of threw it away by not doing a couple of things, but you know, there's still game 3. Right. And it was that ability to kind of understand that to kind of help me put myself in a healthy mindset for game 3. And that game 3 was awful, by the way, because I like almost last location something, but Azdur last locationed it harder, right? So again, it's one of those things like you always got to remind yourself it could always, like, even though things are going bad, they could always be going worse for the other person, and it does, right? So
yeah.
And I've heard a lot of good of those, like, you know, concepts of like you're playing poker. I'm playing golf. I'm just kind of playing by myself, and my score reflects the leaderboard versus how other people are doing. It's kind of the same thing. They're playing the same course. You know what I mean?
Right. So you're not necessarily playing your opponent. You're just trying to do the best you can and let the results fall as they may and not let
it. And there's like some meta stuff like, oh, well, they like going here in GT, or, you know, maybe I think they're going to go here. Like you can make those kind of calls, but ultimately what it comes down to is how you play, right? So that's the primary of my focus.
To focus on your play, not so much on your opponent's play, and let the results be what they are.
If you lose, it's like whatever. Like you'll take the next match, or even if you lose the next one, it's like, you know, those things are going to happen. It's just, again, it's like what you want to get out of it. And I think that's a crux that a lot of people, it's hard for them to get over. And I totally get that, because I've done so much competitive gameplay and I've taken so many losses bad that I've just kind of been like, you know what? It's just not worth it. Just like go with the flow, enjoy it, and go from there. Right.
Sure. Cool, man. Is there anything else? Did we miss anything? I know there's like a million things we could keep going on about, but are you good?
Oh, we can talk all day, but yeah, I'm good though. Thanks for having me. We really had a lot of fun chatting, right? So.
Okay, so I had to bring a ringer on to close out the season, and what better ringer than an ALTTPR than the ringer himself, Gamachu. Yo, what's up, dude?
Yo, how's it going? I feel pretty honored to be here.
Yeah, back again. We're not going to talk anything about you. We're going to talk about everyone else. So season is over. This is the season finale of the podcast. You were guest number 3, which seems about right, right? Like not quite number 1, not quite number 3. Number 3 seems
right. Just being on the show, you know, it's a big honor to definitely be here. You know, well, anytime there's a chance to talk about myself, I'm going to do it, right?
Oh, for sure. Totally. All right. So we're going to reveal the season 2 lineup. This is episode 13. We had a surprise guest with Obscure coming on the show after winning the main tournament. That was really cool. And then we wrapped it up with the what you just heard with the Solsky episode. And so we're going to take a 2-week break, and then we're going to be back in 2 weeks. And we're going to kick things off with, dude, this guest. Guest list is huge. Like, I was excited everyone agreed to be on the show in season 1. Season 2 is insane. So we're gonna go alphabetical, and there's a lot. Season 2 is gonna be a little bit longer than season 1, but well, you know, that's how we do it here. However we want, we do whatever the fuck we want. all right. So I'm gonna tell you the person, and Gamma is gonna tell us his thoughts and tell us why he'd beat them in a race. All right, season 2 lineup. This is alphabetical. When we start off with a banger, we start off with Andy. This is not the first guest on the show. This is the first alphabetically, just so we're clear. But I mean, Andy,
the dude's practically the face of Rando, isn't he?
He really is. Like, he's the reason the people, so many
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You know, most people that came on to the Rando scene is because it was a match they saw between Andy and which one is it? Christos
Owen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a big star. It's like a big star at Rando. So that's already a big name already starting off the list here.
That's huge. So Andy will be a guest in season two. Next up, Daze Cloud.
Oh, Daze Cloud. The one Rando player who ended up getting nearly a sub 120 cross keys finish time.
Yeah, Mr. 121.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's he's a really good runner. Yeah, I'm actually and looking forward to seeing what they have to say.
Yeah, and I get to try to out deep voice him too. That's gonna be fun. All right, how about this, Arier?
Oh, dude. The current world record holder of Link to the Past NMG, right?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. The NMG world record holder.
Yeah, another big name right here. Already.
Huge name.
The guest number three, and we already have Andy, Daze, and Arier. That's already huge.
That's insane.
he's a really, God executioner runner, so I'm looking forward to him.
Like a legit, legit God executioner, unlike you, who... just kind of gets by.
Wash. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, he's like the nicest guy, too. Like, if you ever have any interactions with Ari, it's just, he's just so nice and awesome to the community. So, really excited about that. Herfy Durfy will be on the show for season two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. He
does
a lot of work.
You're not as familiar, right? Yeah, you're not as familiar with Herfy as others.
No, not Herfy, but I do see his name quite a bit around, especially in the GoMod podcasts. I know he does a lot of episodes there.
Yeah.
And I do listen to him every now and then.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been around for a really long time and kind of more like an administration role with like the main tournament and stuff like that. I've actually been on GoMod, but I've never actually had a conversation with Herfy on the podcast, strangely enough. Oh. Try to bring him on the show to do
this
that.
This is your way to try to get him here then.
Really want to talk to Herfy. Let me go on his show and then show up a couple times and he's never there. So that'll be
there
good.
There you go.
Leoria of Light will be on the show next season.
Oh, I know her. She's awesome. She's been around for about, I want to say, 2 years. Cause I remember when she started in as a runner in GoMod Podcasts.
Yeah,
it's definitely good to see a runner, 2 years later, still, killing it out there. And also, as I recall, got a really nice spicy win in SGL versus Arier, right?
Oh, did she? We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, that's something I'm looking for. You know, there's all these people that have already, listed so far. I'm looking forward to what they all have to say.
Yeah. It's cool because she was, like you mentioned, part of the mentor tournament. I think was she? Did you mentor her that year?
I don't think so. Okay. Not that time. But I think she's also currently a mod, right? Currently,
I think so. But what's cool is she's like part of this like big class of that mentor tournament. There was like a whole bunch of them that came into the community and kind of formed like the 40 bonks and stuff and have kind of taken over. Like they're all over the place and they're all really good. And she's a part of that. So that's going to be a really fun conversation.
Yeah. Looking forward. I think they even refer to her as like the Mama Rando over in 40 bonks. So it's funny to say that.
That'll be good. We have Malmo on the show. Super Malmo World is sometimes she goes by on Discord.
Oh God. Yeah. I have seen her. I think she's a big glitch runner, right?
Yes, she's really big in the glitch world, NMG world, and you and I have not participated at all in any of the overworld glitches or no logic or any of that stuff. So getting her perspective on things and like just kind of learning about all that stuff, I think is gonna be a lot of fun for season two.
That'll be awesome, that's for sure.
Excited about that. Matt7898, maybe my favorite runner in the entire community.
This guy's also, I know he's another execution god out there, has a really good NMG time, also plays quite a bit of Rando. Yeah, he's on top of his game when you race him, so
that's another scary guy there. Yeah, won SGL last year too.
Oh, right, he did win. Oh gosh, yeah, he went through the entire tournament without taking a single loss.
Did he? Was it no loss? Damn.
I don't think he took a single loss. I could be wrong, but yeah, that dude, he's a scary name. He's a scary name up there.
He is. Plus, he's Canadian. He's nice and awesome. So yeah, I love watching Matt run. I'm a big fan of him. So it'll be fun to have him for season two. Matt Cap will be a guest on season two.
Oh, Matt Cap. I like to poke that guy around a lot. I know he's a big name out there in the Spanish community, and I tend to give him a hard time every now and then, but he's definitely a fun guy. He's definitely a fun guy I like to mess around with.
Yeah. I'm excited because I don't really know him that well. But as you mentioned, a very big member of the Spanish community. I know he was kind of like running a lot of the restreams and things like that.
He puts a lot of time. I know he's currently a council member. Puts a lot of time into Rando. He's an awesome dude, awesome fellow. Yeah, another person I'm definitely looking forward to hearing from.
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear from him. Next up, on season two, we'll have Oro. Big fan of Oro. They are super awesome. I've been like a mod in my chat for a long time. Is a mod on the 216 podcast. They're all over the place. I love Oro.
Yeah, Oro, I've seen around the Rando scene for quite a while. No, you go around that dude, he's full of positivity. That dude's just genuinely nice person. Yeah, I like him. He's super a great nice. Person.
And excited for them to have a good conversation. I know they're a little nervous about being on the show, but I think they're awesome, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, you managed to pull out Sigma out here. You know, anybody who's nervous, come on. I'm sure you'll be able to make them comfortable right here.
Yeah. This one I'm really excited about. Scottish Brave is going to be on the show for season two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know her. I know you mentioned it a couple of times in the previous podcast how you were looking forward to having Scottish Brave and certain other somebody else try to get as far as
it
can. Yeah, Zen Arcane, and the main tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I know she's a really awesome, good runner, but.
And she's like exploded on the scene. Like she performed really well in the main tournament and you know, did some stuff in the brackets and made some noise there. And, you know,
she's definitely awesome runner.
Yeah. So I love her accent too. So I get to do a whole conversation with her with that awesome Scottish accent. So that's always fun.
That'll be a fun talk there.
All right. Tell me what you think about this next guest. For season two, Shireen.
Oh no, let's move on. Next. No, that guy, you know, Shireen, also a veteran of the Rando scene.
Yeah.
Been around for a long time, really good runner, very modest about his execution. I know he's a really good runner. He's great. Good person overall.
It's gonna be fun to talk to Shireen.
Please give him a hard time.
I can't wait to talk to him about season four of the league.
We can skip fast forward from that. Just fast forward.
All right. Another guest on season two is gonna be Sinek.
Oh, okay. That's another big name right there. The person who runs pretty much the whole the Rando, right? He just runs the whole Rando scene.
Yeah, when he created SahaBot, it's just sort of became the way that people generate seeds, and then all the crazy things that you could do with SahaBot is you've seen with like that tournament that Beer and Structural Mike are running, you know, like all that stuff, like all the stuff that's way beyond my scope and skill is because of Sinek. So I'm really excited to talk to him.
He's made life simple for all of us scrubs out there. All it takes is a simple command and boom, there's your seed.
Yeah, it's awesome. So that's going to be a great conversation. Going to have Trinex on the show for season two.
Oh, Trinex, yeah. Definitely another runner out there that I do know of. I know he's also a big NMG runner as well. So,
is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
At least last time I chatted with him, he was running NMG. And I don't know if he does it frequently, but I do see him at 40 bonks every now and then running NMG.
What I like about Trinex is the fact how chill he is. Like a very calm, chill guy. And he kind of understood more than anyone what I was trying to accomplish with the league. And he was the first one to compare the league to like a beer softball league where it's just like hanging with your buds and drinking beers and playing a game. And
right.
I'll never forget, and I think it was either season one or season two. I think it was season one. we had an inverted seed, and this is when inverted was pretty new. And the Moon Pearl was in Crystal Roller Room, but I couldn't figure it out because I hadn't run Krosky's at all. But you needed like the mirror and whatever to get, you know, how it is. Yeah. Inverted, where you gotta go on the mountain and do some weird stuff, and it took me forever, and I ended up forfeiting early and felt super bad about that. And then the seed was awful, like it took almost 2 hours for him to finish the seed, but excited to talk to him about that.
Okay, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, really excited about that one. Alright, so kicking off season 2 is the next person on the list, Wall Kicks.
Oh, okay, Wall Kicks. A scary name out there in the rando community, especially in cross key scene.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, just like a good dude, right? Like Wall Kicks is just a good person, and
Genuinely nice person. He's very fun to mess around with too. Like this guy has a really positive upbeat. I really enjoy talking with him, and you know, every now and then like to give him a hard time as well.
Sure. Yeah, but yeah. Positivity is what Wall Kicks is about, and I enjoy that.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Willer J. Bradley is going to be a guest on season 2.
Oh, yeah, that's another, you know, it's another, I like to say another face of Rando here in the Rando community. You know, just like Andy, he's been around mm-hmm. the block for, you know, several years and made himself a big name here in the Rando community.
Yeah, he was on the couch for the SGDQ run. He's either SGDQ or AGDQ, I can't remember. The one, the infamous Andy versus Christo swordless match that kind of got everyone into Rando. He was on the couch doing commentary for that. So been around for a long time, has a really, really big community, and will be really good to talk with him.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't even know that, but another runner that's been around for several years, and he's very awesome, very friendly. Yeah, that's another interview. I can't wait to hear what he has to say.
All right. The final guest for season 2 is your favorite and mine, Zero Rush.
Oh no, please, let's just move on. Skip it, you know?
Yeah.
Zero Rush, you know, another guy I'm a big fan of. Also a big NMG runner, although he hasn't run recently, but he's, he's awesome.
He's got a 124, right? Like, he's freaking good. He got that a couple years ago, but...
Yeah, it's still a really good runner, solid overall, scary name too in the rando scene, but he's really cool. Like, you know, I hang out with him every now and then. He's chill. He's an awesome dude. I really like him. And also, yeah, another one I'm really, can't wait to hear what he has to say. Please give these guys a hard time.
Especially Zero, for sure.
Yes.
All right, that's the season 2 lineup. Gonna be coming at you starting in 2 weeks. What do you think, Gamma?
Dude, you have yourself a nice pile of names right here. This is a lot of names, right? You have big names like Andy, Willard, Daycloud, Arrier, you know, world record holder. These are just big names in the random scene. So, yeah, all looking forward to what they have to say.
Yeah, and what's crazy is there's so many names of people that I still want to interview. Like, there's so many people in this community that I want to interview. Like, another... favorite runner of mine is Zelga Desan. I still haven't scheduled anything with him. I definitely need to talk to Zelga at some point.
Oh, he's a execution god as well in the rando scene. I don't know if he runs NMG, but he's, you know, not a person I would be happy to race against when a 1v1.
Yeah, definitely he's super scary to race. So hopefully we'll get him on for season 3. But there's a ton of people I want to talk to in season 3. But season 2 lineup is huge. And Gamma, thanks for coming on again. And going over this list with me.
Absolutely. It's fun to go over with. But yeah, spicy names all around. I'm really can't wait to hear when this comes out.
Yeah. All right. So thanks everyone for listening to the show. I can't thank you all enough. Like, the response to the show has been amazing. The downloads every week have gone up. The subscriber numbers have gone up. And with the exception of the Gamma Chew episode, all of the episodes have just been excellent. Like,
okay, dude, let's settle down. I was about to pounce on you there.
I mean, it's just been such a good time talking with everyone and I don't know, just doing what we've been doing on the podcast. So make sure you subscribe wherever you can. Join the Discord if you can. 216pod.com has the link to the Discord. And thank you all so much for just being a part of the show. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.